Christian life has been spoken about many times as a race, you know, Christian race, we run the race. And I was never a big runner. I played sports, and I would run if I was playing a game. Like, in other words, if I was involved in the game, but if the coach would say, you know, 5 laps, 10 laps, I'd be, oh, man, you know. And if people say, well, I run for exercise. I say, no, I don't run for exercise. You know, I always liked the bike. I rode a bike a lot, and, you know, but I never enjoyed running that much. And I know that when you run, the times I have run a little bit, you know, it can get weary. It can get to you, even if you enjoy it. You know, some of you really enjoy it. I always love, I don't want to get too far down on the thing, but I always love when I would watch people run, especially down the shore. People love to exercise, even when the ones that don't do it regularly. They're down the shore, they want to walk or they want to run. And you could always see the ones who are really making a valiant effort at it, and they're, you know, and then you see the ones who are good runners, and they're kind of like this, and then you see the real runners, and then you just like, I mean, they're just this perfect, perfect stride, and they're not even breaking a sweat, and they're just like running. I'm saying, yeah, they're not even doesn't look like they're getting any exercise. It's just like, whoa, great. And but no matter how you run, whether you run marathons, whether you run just to the store, you know, running can get to the point where it becomes become weary sometimes. And the Bible talks about something that it says in our Christian life, in our Christian race. There's things that weigh us down. Now, I want to ask you, is there any time since you've been a Christian that you just felt the weight of just living a Christian life? Well, only 5 of you. Man, that's amazing. I want to know what your secret is. The rest of you. The Bible does address this, though, and it talks about this. Many of you might know where I'm going to go already in this. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Now, I'm going to give you some big theological things here in a moment, so strap in. Hebrews chapter 12 comes after Hebrews chapter 11. That's highly theological, okay? This, make sure you're grasping that. Hebrews chapter 11 is, we know, it talks about all those in the faith, the hall of fame, we call it a faith, you know? And he speaks about, I think there's 18 that are actually mentioned in that chapter, if my memory serves me right, these men and women of faith that had gone before, you know, when Hebrews was written. And talks about their lives and how they, you know, through adversities and trials, held on to the promises that God gave them. And it says in chapter 12, addressing now the church. You know, chapter 11 looks back to those people who walked their life in the Old Testament times in faith, you know. It now looks forward to this time, the church age, which is up till to this day. Not only those that were written to a couple thousand years ago, this Hebrew church, the Hebrew Christians that were written to, but to us today. And it says to us, King James says, wherefore, New King James says, therefore, same basic thing. Looking back at them, seeing this, it says, therefore, we also. Now, I don't do this often, but I want us to make sure, because Martin said something that many times we hear scriptures, and I have known this for years, and some of you know this, that we are familiar with us. We do kind of just go through coasting in our mind. Oh, I've heard this before. I know what this is about. I can kind of just think about what I'm going to have for, you know, lunch a little bit later and kind of just, okay, get through it, and I can go home. And but I want you to say that, this we have to hear this message. So I want you to say, therefore, and I want you to say with me, we all. Right. Therefore, one more time, we also, us, we, me and you, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, those ones from the last chapter and others, not just them, not the 18 or so, but all the others have gone before, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares, I like King James, besets. I like that word, besets. So easily ensnares or besets us. And let us run with endurance or patience the race that is set before us. How's that sound, all you runners out there? Huh? Because we all are. Whether you physically like to run or not, we're running this Christian life and this Christian race together. Now, I want to clear up a couple things right away just so we don't get bogged down in our thinking. When it speaks about we also have this cloud of witnesses, the image that many times we get is that you and I are runners in a race in a stadium, and we have all these other people peering down from heaven or some point looking at us going, come on, you can do it, come on, yeah, I'm voting for Martin. He's running good. No, Maria's coming closer now. She's going to get it. Here comes Jack. Look at Jack go, baby. Oh, no. Oh, oh, oh. No, I don't see it that way. Could it be? I don't think so. I believe these cloud of witnesses are basically those who have gone before us that witness to us of the faith and the life that they ran. That speaks to us today in the life that we now have to live and the race that we have to run. That's the image I believe is being conveyed here. So in light of that, we look at this and say, hey, we're in this race. Others have run it before us, but we're in it right now. And this cloud of witnesses are there, reminding us of what this race is all about, those heroes of the faith. And it tells us that, listen, when you're running, when it gets a little weary, part of the problem is there's things that are weighing us down, slowing us up, annoying us, making the run, the race harder than it needs to be. Because you notice there's two things there. Every weight and the sin. The sin that so easily besets us or ensnares us. Again, in running, I'm not a runner, but when I've had run or biked or exercised, there were days that even my t-shirt felt heavy. Right? Or something is just rubbing against your body as you're running. You're like, I can't go on. I got to stop. You know what I mean? Or you got to feel your shoes. Your shoes that you normally run in or walk in, they just feel heavy today. You're just like, I want to kick them off. You know, there's things that just slow us up, annoy us, weigh us down. And in the Christian life, we have those things. It's interesting that word ensnares or besets. In the original language, can be translated four different ways. Greek is a very interesting language. I know very little about it, but what I know about it is a very interesting and unique language. But in this case, that word ensnared can actually be translated easily avoided, admired, ensnaring, or dangerous. Four ways that those things that word can be translated, beset, easily avoided, admired, ensnaring, or dangerous. See, there's some sins that are easily avoided, but we don't avoid them. Shame on us. There's actually some sins that, believe it or not, and if you're being honest with yourself, you'll agree to this, because that are admired. Sometimes by ourselves, sometimes in as others look at us. There's actually certain things that people admire about us that we recognize, no, that's really sin. You know, my self-confidence that I seem to put out there, there's nothing wrong with that, but it actually leeches into pride or it leeches into some other thing. You know what I mean? Oh, my stand-up attitude really is, you know, that I just like to fight with everybody. You know what I mean? I just like to battle, you know? It's not just like, you know, there's so many things, and people, oh, I admire that. There are some sins that are out there that just ensnare. They trap. They trap us. And all are dangerous, but some seem to be more dangerous than others. Now, what's interesting is we look at these weights and these sins, and when it says the sins, but it says the sin, I believe that all the sins and the weights combine themselves to when we look at what, and if you actually read kind of back the thought process the Holy Spirit has, the writer here in Hebrews, going from chapter 10 through 11 into 12, the sin encompasses all the ways, all the sins that trips us up, that besets us, that there, and it all comes down to areas of difficulty, of unbelief in our life, of where we're not walking by faith. And we see that these are areas that are addressed to us in and through Scripture in many places, these different types of sins. And in no case that I'm aware of does the Bible tell us the devil made you do it. Some of you are old enough to remember that phrase line. What was his name? Flip Wilson. All right. Devil made me do it. No, the devil tempts. He has his role. He has it. But we don't, he can't make us do anything. It's us. And the Scriptures continually remind us that it's we who have to deal with these besetting sins, these weights that keep us from running the race as we should. And we have to deal with them. Now, not in our own strength, but in the power of the Holy Spirit, we need to lay aside every weight and the sin. That sin of that time of unbelief or not walking in faith, it easily ensnares us so we can run with endurance. That word endurance, by the way, is a word that means with determination, unhurrying, you know, but yet undelaying. In other words, we continue on. We're not running like somebody's chasing us, but at the same time, we're running and we have a goal in mind to finish this race that's set before us, but we do so without stopping. We just keep on going. Sometimes we have to slow down. Sometimes we may have to run a little faster, but we keep on going. We keep on going. That's the race. By the way, the Greek word for the word race is a word that we get our word agony from. It can be hard. That's how I always felt when they said, run 10 laps, Joe. Ah! Agony. So these besetting sins, really, what are they? Well, they're the sins. There's sin general that we all deal with. But there's sins that you and I know of that really deal, that we have to deal with personally. Some may deal with sexual lust. Some may deal with pride. Some may deal with lying. Some may deal with many multiples of these. But you know in your own life, these are the ones that continue to kind of show themselves. They continue to come up on a regular basis. Some of us look down and say, yeah, I know what he's talking about, but you know, Jack never deals with any of those sins. You know, Steve doesn't deal with any of those sins. He doesn't do that. Oh, no, the pastor doesn't deal with any of those sins. Oh, no, we all deal with these besetting sins. Every one of us. All the time. That's why they're besetting. They're there. And one of the things you have to do when we're thinking about dealing with these besetting sins is to first recognize them. Because many times we don't. We're aware of some of them, but then there's other ones that we kind of gotten used to just being there. And hey, that's just who I am. No, they're a weight in your life. It's a besetting sin that's in hampering your race, your walk with Jesus, your run with Jesus. Holy Spirit, show us today what every weight is. And then we have to recognize that the devil can't make us do it. So we ourselves have to say, Father, I want these things out. Because it says to us that we are to lay aside. Not pray that God would deliver you from the bondage of the enemy who's putting these heavy weights on you. No, you lay them aside. Put them down. Get them off. And we have to remember that before Christ, in our unredeemed state, we are dead in our sins and our trespasses. And we cannot in ourself ever remove anything from our lives. But when we've been redeemed and born again, when we see things from God's perspective. He gives us the strength through the power of the Holy Spirit to lay the things aside that need to be laid aside. When we come to Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17 happens, which is going to go up on the screen. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You know what that scripture says, right? Not that one. 5:17, did I give it to you? If I didn't put it down, don't worry about it. If anyone is what? In Christ. They are what? A new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We have to remember that. That there's been a change in us. We are no longer who we once were. We have been redeemed. We have been changed. The former things have passed away. There's a new life given to us, not only in eternity, but even now. We've been redeemed and transformed into the likeness of Christ, and he's given us everything we need, the Bible says, to life and godliness. So as I said earlier, you know, sometimes we look at other people and say, oh, they don't deal with some of these things they deal with. No, we all do, and the Bible shows us many people in Scripture who dealt with many, many different things. Did Abraham have his sins, the father of faith? Yeah, he did. Did Moses have his besetting sins? Yes, he did. Oh, we can go on and on about David's besetting sins and Solomon's besetting sins. We can look in the New Testament. Look at the apostles. We can look at Paul, and he talks about it. He goes into a great length. He doesn't always specifically call them out. He calls out some, but he talks about how he wants to do the right thing and he can, and he doesn't want to do the wrong thing, but he does. He's got besetting sins. And look at Peter. He had a problem. You know what Peter's problem was? Peter had a problem with worrying about what people thought as opposed to what God thought. And he would sit around that fire and deny Jesus because he didn't like what people were thinking about him when he had identified with Jesus. And even later, when he was an apostle, he went and the Judaizers were there, and he separated himself from the Gentile believers, and he kept doing that to the point that Paul had to call him out on it, because Peter was thinking, like, what are these Jewish guys thinking about? You know, and he worried about what people thought about him. He had a besetting sin, at least one. He probably had many, like we all do. And when Paul describes in Romans 7 these besetting sins that are in his life, he reminds us that we're all in this together. Whatever those areas are, and I pray the Holy Spirit even now is starting to illuminate your mind to what those areas might be. Some you may be more than aware of than others. Some may deal, again, with lust. Some may deal with gossip. Some may deal with lying, whatever it might be. But whatever that particular area or those particular areas, these besetting sins, these habitual sins, these ones that keep coming back time and time again that we struggle with all the different times, we have to realize that God has given us a way to deal with them. Lay them aside. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. Right? Did you ever hear that one before? Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. Right? But Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live in the flesh by the faith of the Son of God who loved and gave himself for me. There's an ability that God has given us when we have been redeemed to lay aside these sins by the power of God, because we have been crucified with Christ. The old man has been crucified. But now, are we living the new life? The Bible tells us in different places that one of the best areas for us to deal with these ensnaring or besetting sins is to avoid situations and relationships that put us in that dangerous zone of where these sins start to come alive a little more. You know that. For some of us, you need to clean up your cell phone and your viewing habits or your computer habits or the channels you may watch. Do we still do channels anymore? We don't do channels anymore, right? I don't know how we view TV anymore. We stream, right? We stream. You have to watch your streaming habits because they're causing you problems. You have certain relationships that need to have boundaries at least put around them, if not if not outright, maybe being severed for a time. Because they're dangerous. They wake up those besetting sins. You know, Romans tells us in, I think it's chapter 13, to make no provision for the flesh. Father, give us and pray for the strength and the wisdom to change those habits within our lives that cause these sins to continually manifest themselves in this manner. And when we're dealing with this, and I'm going to circle back to this in a few moments now, I want to remind us that when we're dealing with this, the best way, and it's here right in our text today, for us to deal with these continual besetting sins is to do what verse 2 says, and it says, looking unto Jesus. Look to Jesus. See, we're to lay them aside, but we can't do it on our own. And sometimes when we're dealing with these weights and this sin that so easily besets us, it wears us down. And when it wears us down, we have to remember that we have to put our eyes upon Jesus, looking unto Jesus, who is the what? The author and the finisher of our faith. And it reminds us, though he had no sin, he bore with a lot of weight when he came upon this earth. But he never, ever, ever, ever let it deter him from the goal, from the race that he ran, if you will, from the walk that he walked when he was here on the earth. We look unto Jesus, the one who died for us to give us and the opportunity to be in this race to the kingdom of God. He gave us this opportunity. He's the author and he's the finisher. And I will tell you something, that he is there at the beginning, he is there at the end, and he's running alongside us all the way. Because right now he's standing at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. He's with us. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So when you and I are dealing with these besetting sins, the one thing that we have to do is continually look at Jesus. You know, I know I'm referring to a lot to the original language here today, but in the original language, that word looking is much fuller than anything we could find in English. It means a gazing unto at the expense of everything else. When you're looking at something and you now have blinders on, and all you could see is the object you're looking at. You ever done that in the flesh? You ever looked at something so much that you can't see anything else? All of a sudden it's around you and people are like this waving at you, you're like, you're just focused. That's how we should be looking at Jesus, to the expense of not seeing anything else around us. Look at Jesus. Gaze on him. Put your eyes on him. Because this Jesus that we look to, the one who is the author and the finisher of our faith, it says here that he, this same Jesus, the author and the finisher, is the one who endured the cross with joy. He despising the shame. And he finished the race. He finished the work that he was sent here to do perfectly. And he's now at the right hand of the throne of God. So when we grow weary of running this race, when we go weary of dealing with these besetting sins, when we grow weary if all this life that has to offer in this, and we start to say, put your eyes upon Jesus. Remember what he's done for you and think about what he's doing for you right now and how he's made a way for you, because this life we live, as we saw earlier, he's given us the strength to live within us. He's come to live with inside of us and he promised to help us in every area. And don't be ashamed, because shame is one of those things that will keep us many times from hiding and not dealing with these besetting sins. I'm ashamed to deal with that. No. The enemy loves to have you stay in a corner and sulk over and cry over yourself and your sin, that nobody else sins like you, and you're the worst person in the world, and you, how do you call yourself a Christian, because you do this, you do that, or you don't do this, you don't do that, and he gets us over there, and wah, and we have this big cry fest, and we say, well, I'm not going to deal with it, I'm ashamed. And then there's a snare there that keeps you trapped. Now, I do believe wisdom tells us that we don't necessarily, and it's not very smart to go out and talk to everybody about all of our sins and say, hey, you know what, I do this, that, and first of all, many times if you're doing that, you're probably trying to glorify something or justify something, which is not right anyway. But you know that don't hold them in. Deal with those sins. Talk to those brothers and sisters that you know that you can trust. Bring it out. Say, listen, pray for me. I'm dealing with these areas because many times they're dealing with the same thing too, and you guys can come to pray together and help one another in this walk to lay aside those weights, to deal with those besetting sins. See, the shame is a stumbling block to many people. And sometimes that shame or embarrassment, you know, is really comes from sometimes that we're ashamed because of our sin to even identify as a Christian. Because I'm a hypocrite then. No. No. If you are born again in Christ, say so. And then go to the Father and say, Father, I don't want these sins in my life that bring shame to your name or shame to that. Help me, Lord, in this area. I want to be set free. See, how many besetting sins do we deal with sometimes because we're even ashamed to publicly say that we're a Christian? Think about that. You're in a group of people, and instead of identifying that you're like Peter, instead of identifying that I know him, I am his, I'm his, you sit there quietly when everything's going on around you, and next thing you know, you're starting to talk like them, and you gossip like them. Or they start saying some things and you got thoughts in your mind and you go home and maybe you start dealing with those thoughts and you say, oh, now I'm drowning in this sin again that I thought I was dealt with before. But because you didn't just say, no. No, I'm a child of God. I don't do this anymore. That's not who I am anymore. I'm laying aside that weight. So Paul in Romans 6, a few more scriptures, guys, and I want to bring this to a close, but Paul in Romans 6 verse 11 says that we have to consider ourselves dead to sin, which is great, but what? Alive unto Jesus Christ. So we look at him, we identify with him, and we're not ashamed of him. Yeah, you may be ashamed of what you're dealing with, but you say, Lord, no, you died for that. I'm not ashamed to tell some people. I am imperfect. I deal with areas that I'm embarrassed to even talk about, but you know what? That's why Jesus died for me, and Jesus is the one who's going to keep me from having those areas in my life weigh me down any longer. Paul goes on in that chapter of talking about how, you know, those sins that are there that we are dead to, but we're alive to Jesus. He tells us that, you know what? When you allow those sins in your life, you before Christ, you were a slave to those sins. You were bound. You had no way of dealing with those things. But now you have been set free. He says in chapter 7, he says, verse 18, for I know nothing good dwells within me, that is my flesh. For I had the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. But then he goes on in that 8th chapter, which is the victorious chapter of those who walk according not to their flesh but to the Spirit. He says, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. The power of God by the Holy Spirit living within us. If we say to our Father, Father, I'm so tired of these weights that are dragging me down. Lord, I want them to go. Lord, give me the strength. And we look to Jesus, the author and the finisher, and we say, Father, no more. No more. Sometimes you'll have to adopt the attitude of Joseph when he was tempted by Potiphar's wife, and he got out of Dodge so fast he left his cloak behind. Boom, I'm out of here. I stay a second longer, I am going to fall into grave sin. But I'm getting out of here. Father, give me the strength. Give me the wisdom. And when you get to that point where you now say, Lord, there are some areas in my life. I was actually reading this morning a little short blog, I think it was, on this, and the pastor who was writing this, he says, for years, he was being very open, and he says, for years, he had dealt with sexual lust. He said, but he knew it, but he fought that, and he said he did lay it aside, and he did, and he was successful by God's grace to do that, but as he was doing that and fighting that so much, he didn't look at the other 6, 7, or 8 besetting sins that were in his life, and he never dealt with them the same way he dealt with the sexual lust. They're all to be dealt with the same thing. Lay them all aside. It doesn't say lay aside just one or two or the ones that you think are going to cause you the most problem. Lay them all aside. And when he began to do that with that recognition that with the power of God, he can have victory over all these besetting sins, he said it revolutionized and changed his walk. It changed the race. So Hebrews continues on as we close. For consider him, Jesus. Look to him, consider him, who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. Yes, we battle against this world. We do battle against the tempter, the enemy that's here, and we battle against our flesh, but we'll never have to endure what Jesus endured, and he was able to show us the victory through that. Remember, he was fully God, but he was also fully man, and he walked this life sinless by the power of the Spirit of God. So consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. In other words, he said, these besetting sins, yeah, you got to deal with them because they're causing you to have a problem in your walk with Jesus or your race that you're running here. But at the same time, you haven't gone to the lengths that Jesus had to go through because he went all the way to the cross. He says, don't be discouraged. And I believe, as we close, that one of the best ways for us, as we keep our eyes upon Jesus and we consider him and we realize he's given us the power we need to be free from this, and we say we are determined, Lord, to lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us, that we do what Paul says in Philippians chapter 4 on a regular basis. We look to Jesus and we say, as he says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. How can a young man or a man avoid the sin in his life according to the psalm? The word of God. We look into the word of truth. Jesus said, Father, sanctify them by what? Your truth. Your word is truth. As we look lovingly into the pages of Scripture, as we look and focus on the words of Scripture that are like a mirror to our soul to show us those areas of besetting sins, then we realize that as we do that, we meditate on the Word of God that shows us that, yes, we are powerless in ourselves to be free, but Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, has given us everything we need and the power to lay aside every weight and the besetting sin. And we can have the victory daily. Daily, because if you do it today, the same one's going to come back tomorrow, but you can be victorious tomorrow, and you'll be victorious the next day, and we can continue to run this race that is set before us with victory every day until Jesus says, finish line, and we get to glory. We don't have to worry about the besetting sins anymore. What a day that'll be. But in the meantime, we can have the victory. So let your minds be renewed. Meditate on these things. Let Romans 12 be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Father, change the way I think about these things. Let me focus on your word, your truth, your love, your power, your grace. And I thank you for the victory. Father, help us today to see the areas in our life. Father, we know all sin is a problem, but there's those besetting sins that each one of us deals with, Lord. Father, give us the wisdom today to see and identify them, the understanding, and Lord, how to deal with each one of these areas. Father, let us know that these weights are holding us back from being all that you have called us to be. And that we would identify with you to say, Father, we don't want these in our life anymore. Father, we're tired of running this race with a backpack of bricks on. So, Father, would each one start to come off one by one? as I lay them aside, as you show me this and give me the strength to do just that. And Father, when the backpack is empty, Father, then I want to have the backpack come itself come off, Lord God, because I don't need anything that's going to catch these extra weights in my life. So Father, help me to look at you, to look at you, to remember all that you have done and all that you are going to do and what you are presently doing for me and giving me the power by your Holy Spirit to live this life without the besetting sins. And then, Father, help me to look upon your word daily, to meditate on the things that are good and lovely and all those things, Lord God, that will transform my mind, will renew me, so that I can bring every thought into captivity to Jesus Christ, so that, Father, I will be now able to walk without these weights, to run without the weights, to give you glory, and that others would see me and see your power working through me, and they too would want to run the race in the way that glorifies their Father in heaven. So we trust you today and thank you. Let your word bear fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.